The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Tuesday, 7th day of September, 2021. It's a couple of things I wanted to cover this hour. You know, it's kind of fascinating to me that the only news agency in this country that is still following the fraudulent vote of 2020 is One America News. That's it. It is all, the denial has stopped from all news agencies, including Fox, about the vote being rigged. If they don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. Therefore, it doesn't exist. And it's not worth talking about. Well, Steve Bannon did an interview with a other radio host, John Fredericks. Now, I got to admit, I've never heard John Fredericks. But he interviewed him specifically on the voting that went on in Georgia, or more specifically, the voting fix. Ballot traffickers were caught on video emptying backpacks of ballots into Georgia drop boxes in the middle of the night. Want the proof? They got the videos. Here is this short interview with Fredericks on Steve Bannon's program.
Walk us through Georgia Star, John Fredericks Radio Network, what you guys are breaking down.
This is about, Steve, first of all, thank you for having me. I know time is precious here. You got a lot going on. But what we've uncovered about to break in Georgia is all hell's going to break loose. We've got two organizations called OPSEC and True to Vote. Heather Mullins from Real America's Voice, who has been on the ground for us, broke this story today on my radio show. Basically, what we have is coming video. She's seen the video. It's not been released. There is coming video where there are basically about 240, what I'm going to call, ballot traffickers in Georgia. And so what they did is they went around to the drop boxes all over the state, with each of them averaging about 24 drop boxes each. And what they would do is they would go there in the middle of the night, this is all on video, and they would empty backpacks with gloves on, full of ballots, into these drop boxes. There's 240 different ballot traffickers that they've identified as potential suspects here. Of the 240, they averaged about 23 to 24 drop boxes each. So some did 10, some did 50. Now, this is totally illegal, because the way even Stacey's law, the illegal consent decree, was written is that one person, one vote in the drop box, no harvesting. That's the way the law, whatever you want to call it, the agreement that Raffensperger did, that's the way it's said. Now, when you got people in the middle of the night dropping off on video backpacks of ballots in drop boxes with gloves on, and it's the same 240 people going around the state, basically in the four major counties, Gwinnett, Cobb, Fulton, and DeKalb, What does this mean? Why hasn't Raffensperger investigated? When this video comes out, this is going to be as explosive as the fake ballots that we're going to find in Fulton County. And the other question is, the way the law was written, or the agreement that Raffensperger signed with Stacey Abrams, is one vote, as I said, but also that vote in the drop box was supposed to be delivered by a family member, the person who voted, or a close friend, not somebody emptying out backpacks in the middle of the night.
There's nothing to see here. Just move along. Vote counts are still going on. You're not hearing about them, but they're still going on. Here we are, 5 months away from 2022, and we're still counting votes. Still turning up the evidence of the fraud on a scale that put JoJo into that damn White House. Nothing to see here, folks. Just move along. A former Connecticut school teacher, Jen Tafuto, she talked with a Daily Caller News Foundation, Samantha Renk, and she explained why she chose to resign from teaching after 6 years because of their equity curriculum. This was a lifelong dream of this young woman. But she explains, I didn't sign up to be a revolutionary.
I wanted to become a teacher to share my love of learning, to teach language arts and math, and encourage kindness. But I didn't sign up to be a revolutionary. Yet we have cloak terms like equity being used to push critical race theory beliefs on students and teachers. During innocent read-alouds, students are being asked to identify characters based on their skin color, to talk about injustices they may face because of their skin color. And teachers are being given scripted questions like, I wonder why many white people didn't want black people to have an education. These conversations wouldn't happen naturally among 7 and 8 year olds, and they're harmful.
Joining me today is Jen Tafuto. She is a former Connecticut teacher who recently resigned over concerns about what was being taught in the classroom. Jen, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Samantha.
Of course. Now, I first came across your video that you posted about why you were resigning, and you said that you felt more like a political activist than a teacher in your own classroom. You had been teaching for 6 years. Can you tell us, you know, what exactly essentially was your breaking point? Was the curriculum changing over the last couple of years? Sort of walk us through what exactly happened.
Sure. So yes, in the past few years, especially the last year, there has been such a push on this equity curriculum. It seemed to be a priority over, learning regressions that were inevitable with COVID and just over academic curriculum in general. Obviously, I taught academics throughout the day, but we had this block that was designated for equity. And in this block, we were given read alouds to read with our students and prompts, questions, thought-provoking, you know, conversation starters that were just not suitable, in my opinion, for 7 and 8 year olds. And my breaking point is really hard to pinpoint because it had kind of been building up. I had felt uncomfortable with a lot of the conversations as a teacher, in addition to like the staff meetings and the professional development where this work was being pushed as well. So it's hard to pick one particular instance, but I think, and I've said this before, some of the questions were really questioning my integrity as a teacher, saying things such as, I mentioned this earlier, I wondered if as a teacher, do I always make sure the black boys in my classroom matter? And to me, that was almost like a kick in the gut. I had always wanted to be a teacher. It was a dream of mine. And to question my moral integrity about why I became a teacher, that it was really hard. And, I felt like it was really pitting my students against each other. And it's work that I just didn't want to support anymore. And so that's why I decided to, take this bittersweet leap and leave the classroom.
Yes. And, you know, you just mentioned staff meetings. I'm curious as to how your fellow teachers have been responding to you resigning. Have any other teachers considered resigning over the curriculum?
That's a great question. It's something that I am so impressed with. I've received so much support from teachers still within district, teaching under that same administration, just like, you know, saying they're so proud of me and they support and they back everything I've been saying. I just find it really eye-opening and kind of sad because a lot of the messages have been in support and then they continue to say, I wish I could say this. I want to reflect on these meetings and say how I truly feel, but I'm scared. And for me, I appreciate their support, but it makes me sad for them that they don't feel like they can speak out. I feel like there's almost this sense of paranoia going on, where teachers are being forced to adhere to this work or to be complacent, even if they don't agree with it.
You brought up how some teachers might be afraid to speak up. Are they afraid of getting fired for speaking up? Are they afraid of being, you know, shunned by other teachers? What are the potential consequences there?
I think both. I think the fear of being labeled is definitely a real fear. Anyone getting reprimanded is also a fear. They don't want to be targeted and losing their job as well, for sure.
And I saw that you also have a daughter. I'm not sure how old she is exactly, but I'm sure as a teacher and what you're going through right now, you're obviously aware of what's being taught in school. Are you considering now homeschooling her? When she's at that age to attend school, or maybe moving her to a different school district?
She's young. She's only 17 months.
Okay.
So we won't have to do that for a while. Right. But absolutely. I think that I would definitely look to pursue other options if the public schools will still be pushing this curriculum on kids.
Yeah.
And
then just more broadly, I mean, as we're talking about with COVID, a lot of kids were online. And I think parents became more aware of what their students or what their kids were being taught in school. Now that it's September, kids are back in school, a lot of parents are going back into the office, might not be aware of what their kids are being taught. What's your message to them on how they can stay on top of what's being taught in their schools?
It's a valid concern. I had a parent of a student last year contact me this morning and, jokingly said, can you homeschool our daughter for the year? Because I was fully remote last year and I had a lot of parents listening in. Some parents, this one in particular, had reached out in concern with some of the work that was being pushed on her kid. Mm-hmm. And my message for them is to speak up. It is your right to want your child to have the best education possible. And you deserve to know that they are going to a safe place where you agree with what's being taught. And so I think that for now, they need to speak up, go to the school board meetings, sign the pledges. I talked this morning about the 1776 action pledge for citizens as well as educators. It's really important to just speak up and pledge that you don't agree with this work and that it is doing inevitable harm for our kids.
Did you ever see an opportunity to speak up and change the curriculum? Was there ever a point where you were able to push back and express that you didn't agree with what was being taught?
Not really. There was definitely opportunities for feedback, reflection on some of the trainings and whatnot. But like I had said earlier, that same sentiment where teachers are scared to even reflect because it could be anonymous, but you just never know. And I think there's always that fear of being labeled or reprimanded. And that's why, to be honest, I chose to resign in a very respectful manner. I simply emailed them saying I was looking to pursue other opportunities, which is true. Mm-hmm. I never intended to bash the school district where I taught. I've enjoyed my students and their families and learning in the diverse community
here. Why do they always do this?
This is what's taking place, and it's work that...
Enough. Yeah, she was supported by the people, teachers in her district, and that really felt good. But, I didn't get on the system. I enjoyed the the children and their parents, and, you know, I didn't slam the school system. Why not? So you just whimper away. What the hell is the point? You know, it's almost like she's serving as an apologist because, well, it's really her that really doesn't fit now, isn't it? And that I'm pursuing other opportunities. What? Why can't people have the courage of their own convictions? Why? You're doing this, you laid out all the damn reasons why you quit your dream job after how many years? It was intolerable. You had to resign because you weren't going to take part in this critical race theory, turning kids against kids, turning kids against their parents. So where in the hell is the courage of your own convictions? Why are you serving almost as an apologist? You're apologizing to them for forcing you out of your career because it stunk to high heavens. But you sent them a nice, polite email. Well, bless your little teddy hole, as my mama used to say. Whatever a teddy hole is. What are you looking at? I look up and you're looking at me. You need something? Okay. You're on the phone talking. You're multitasking. You're looking at me and you're talking on the phone. Okay. At any rate. Down in Victoria, Australia. These people have gone full tilt. What they're telling people down in Victoria, you know, we're going to lock you all out and all on unvaxxed people from its economy. Oh, by the way, if you're unvaccinated, you're blocked from receiving any health from any health care facility in the country as well. Here's Dictator Dan banning unvaxxed from health services down in Victoria.
From a situation where, to protect the health system, we've got everybody locked down, we're going to move to a situation where, to protect the health system, we're going to lock out people who are not vaccinated and can be. If you're making the choice not to get vaccinated, then you're making the wrong choice.
They keep using this word choice. If you choose not to get vaccinated, that's not a choice. There's no choice. The generally accepted understanding of choice, well, I can choose from column A or I can choose from column B. I think I have fried rice tonight. This is not a choice. They're telling you, take the injection, take the poison, risk your life, or we're going to block you from health services in Australia? Really? Where do people like this come from, and why is this man still alive? I'm telling you, folks, I'm not advocating for violence here, but I'm telling you what. It gets to the critical mass that people don't give a crap anymore because they realize they have nothing left to lose. Whew. They're actually enjoying their newfound jobs being little dictators and making it sound as if they're doing the Australian people a favor. You don't have enough cops. Regardless of the fact that you ain't got guns down there, they still got knives, axes, baseball bats, whatever. Unless the cops down there are growing eyes in the back of their heads. And this thing of you guys grouping up and there's 50 or 75 or 100 of you all grouped together. Yeah. You're facing thousands and tens of thousands of people that want to beat you to a bloody pulp. Yeah. Let's see how your courage stands up in the face of that. maelstrom, because they're pushing it and it will come.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find.
Oh, we got interrupted here by crass commercialism. Here's Dictator Dan. Let me not interrupt his presentation. It's so important to hear.
You're making the wrong choice. And for safety's sake, and for the back to that point about how much work our nurses have to do, as this becomes absolutely a pandemic of the unvaccinated and we open everything up, it's not going to be safe for people who are not vaccinated to be roaming around the place spreading the virus. That's what they'll be doing. So there's every reason to get vaccinated. And there are appointments available, and there'll be even more appointments available throughout September, October, November. Let's get to those thresholds as fast as we possibly can. But yes, there's going to be a vaccinated economy. And you get to participate that. You get to participate in that if you are vaccinated. Now, that's not right now, because, of course, there's many more people who want to get vaccinated than we actually can get through the system. But we're going to get to a point where everybody who can get vaccinated will have been offered the chance to do so. And we are not going to have a situation, well, at least not in Victoria, where we lock the whole place down to protect people who won't protect themselves. These go and get vaccinated. There's 11,000 AZ appointments available this week.
Now, you just heard what he just said. You're the reason why things are going the way they are. You unvaccinated people, they're going to run around and infect other people. Well, if the other people are vaccinated, the hell does he care? Oh, but that's right. The people that have been vaccinated are still having problems, but the health problems that they're having is not due to COVID-19. It's due to their, their solution to the COVID pandemic is what's killing people. This guy is a churning burning funk, twisted pretzel logic, and challengeable on so many levels, but they're the government. And you can't challenge them in health crisis because they will not hear you. I'm telling you, I'm warning people. I'm not an advocate for violence, but I'm telling you this is coming. When the people realize they've got nothing left to take from them, their idea about life changes. And especially you living your life. The oppressors are always the first ones to go.
2,000 Pfizer appointments available this week. We'll have more to say with those additional stocks coming in from overseas, but I want to run that down to zero so there are no more AstraZeneca appointments, hopefully very soon, and we can order more, and we can keep pushing that. I just again remind people, the Prime Minister has written to everybody who's 60 and over and indicated to them that you are eligible for AstraZeneca, and if you want Pfizer, then you will be in the queue behind everyone else. That is to say, you'll be in the queue behind 12-year-olds, because they can only get Pfizer.
Wow. Yeah, you old people, you scared yet enough? You're going to be in queue behind the 12-year-olds because the 12-year-olds can only take the Pfizer vaccine. I see. What's wrong with the other ones? Killing too many people for you? Folks, this is god-awfulness on a galactic scale. It truly is. (512) 248-8252. Phone still working. I think we paid the bill here. Which, by the way, folks, we're always working to reduce our bills at the network. And going to this AMP telecom company, yeah, I had some reservations, but no longer. How long have we had their service now, Mike? 6 months? 4 months? And my average bill a month is $325, whereas before it was $800 plus. So folks, when you do send donations to this network, understand one thing. It's not going into a trust fund. No, I'm not going to be retiring from an overseas trust fund. All the money that comes in to this network goes in for the network, and we're always trying to trim cost. I want you to keep that in mind. Who do I have here, Mikey? Paul in California. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, John. I don't always get the opportunity to listen to your show. Mm-hmm. I really like it so far. I think that was the perfect interruption of that woman. You know, what strikes me so much is that there's so many people, especially here in California, but I think in general, they just have this reluctance to offend somebody.
Yeah.
No matter how offensive they are being,
yeah,
it's like somebody coming up and doing a mugging or strong arm robbery. Saying, well, I'm sorry that I don't really care to accommodate you at the moment, but my personal property is important to me, and so therefore I am reluctant to turn it over to you. I mean, it really is just kind of, you know, crazy. The other observation I'll make is about your comment about this guy in Australia, Dan, and all these other tyrants where you say, you know, I don't know why they're still alive, which, you know, is precisely the point. But I think what I feel is that I don't understand why people think that they have any authority at all to issue orders.
Hold on.
Command.
Do me a favor. Hang on 1 second. I appreciate your call here. I've got to take this bottom of the hour break, but hang on a second. I'll bring you back. 512-248-8252 is the participation number.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are back. Paul in California, you're so calm and collected and reasonable, I just had to carry you over.
Thank you. I'm sure that you, like a lot of people out there, I mean, we're not all the most educated people in the world. I'm not a student of Australian law or Canadian law or, you know, history and law. But here's the part that's frustrating to me, is I did pay a little bit attention in school. I wasn't the best student in the world. But, you know, it seems that the basic common tenets, what you would call Western English-speaking democracy, would leave most adults with the understanding that these people cannot just make something up and tell us that we have to do something without there being some sort of a legal process. And I can only go by my experience here in California, which is shocking, I got to say.
Oh, brother.
Everywhere I've gone and I've gotten into discussions and arguments with people, nobody ever has anything to say to me. And I just confront them with simple things such as, well, can you show me the law? Can you tell me what the name of the law is? Do you have anything in writing from the county that says you have an authority to require me to wear a mask? And so on. Yeah. And, of course, they never do. And even I carry with me sometimes the printout that a lot of businesses post. And right on the top of it, John, it says social distancing protocol. Right? And you know, you go on the government website, you know, you type in, you look, okay, let me see the law, let me see the mandate. It doesn't exist. It's just guidelines.
It's based, business owners, and what did they tell you, Paul? Well, we're making these recommendations based on science and based on our health organizations within our state. You know, that's what we're doing here. That was their answer for any time that you'd ask a real cognitive, I really want an answer question to them. They have nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Right. Right. And as I said before, what kind of set my little thought train going when you actually made this statement, which I've heard you and actually other people say, which I like to hear, is like, why are these people still alive? I just started going. But more to the point, it's why are there so many dumbed down, miseducated, and uneducated fools that can't see the charade for what it is? It's a pretense of authority. Everything is fraud. The virus is fraud. Pandemic is fraud.
Paul. Paul, I don't know how old you are, but this has been a learning experience in this country. And what the learning institutions have done has taught you how not to think and how not to learn. You know, a lot of this stuff has its roots and has its genesis, if you will. And a lot of people miss this. You know, I'm totally fascinated by this, but a lack of information, and people will come to conclusions that have absolutely no sense to them. You know, before you mentioned, you were basically talking about common sense. Well, we used to have what was called common law, was based on common sense, and the very essence of the common law is simply this. That yes, somebody does have a claim on you if you do damage to them, if you harm them. That is not the rules and guidelines of an administrative state. You have bureaucrats making up law and policy based on what they perceive to be a need, outside of the normal processes of making law. So it's based on common sense. But that's out the window because a lot of our kids that are currently on our school system right now are not being taught critical thinking. They're being taught what to think.
And, you know, you're exactly right in your response. But it also, you know, in my opinion, and again, you know, the average person today, when you start broaching such concepts as common law and administrative law and policy, you know,
they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue.
You might as well just say it's calculus. And to me, I think why do we need to teach people to think or to think critically? You know, if we just educate people, doesn't the thinking automatically occur?
Well, it used to go that way because we had this little thing. It was called a zest for life. We enjoyed the experience. We were sponges for stuff we didn't know. We wanted to know. We wanted to know why the sky was blue and water was wet. We wanted to know things, but now you're not being taught critical thinking, and that was part of the public education that I got when I was a child. They made sure that whatever you were reading comprehension, we used to have classes they called reading classes that you'd go in, and the whole thing was geared toward understanding, first of all, this is tied to English and you know, dictionary definitions and what is language and what does a word mean that you're structuring into a sentence and all this other stuff. This was naturally occurring stuff. And we had this zest and we had this feel for this excitement for the learning process. And geez, once I get through school and what am I going to be doing next? And this has all been wiped out. This is all planned obsolescence of the joys of life, my friend. And they're
That's a very good way of putting it. And as far as your comment about you don't know how old I am, just for the fun of it, I think I was either in second or third grade when I had to kind of wake my mom from a nap. She was taking an afternoon nap and I got home from school to tell her that I heard that President Kennedy had got shot.
That'll
give you an idea.
But you have Paul, you have a young voice. All right. Hey, look, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Critical thinking processes. Wow. Sheldon in Washington. Hello, Sheldon.
Scary times, John. Very scary indeed. I have two quick things. The first one, I finally met somebody that had the flu today. So that's been what? Yeah, that's been what, a year and a half, year and 8 months? Big old guy up in my machine shop there, I haven't seen him in a while, and he said, yeah, I was down 10 days, lost 20 pounds. I said, yeah, that's about average. I said, when I had that H1N1 about six, eight years ago, I didn't even want to drink water. And he said, yeah, the same with me. I had to force myself to drink.
Now, question, Sheldon.
Oh.
He's not he's not been vaccinated?
Rog.
Okay, so here's a guy that I'm going to assume that he was in generally good health, got a flu, his immune system kicked in, fought that flu virus, and now he's back to work. Jeez, isn't that amazing?
Everything's back to normal. The 20 pounds he lost, he found again. And he's probably 48 or so. I don't think he's 50. If he is, he just got there. The other thing is, Saturday, I got this long road out here, and I can tell when people are just flying by. I'm just minding my own business out the window, and these people come up flying by. But all of a sudden, they're hitting the binders here, and I'm going, you know, you're going too fast to make my turn, let alone my neighbor on the opposite side. It was like it was important, right? So they hang a port rail and go up there, and they get out, and the people open the door. This old guy is 70 and his mom, and they aren't coming out of the building. And these guys aren't getting any closer. So here come the clipboards. Here comes the mask. One guy goes over, walks in the building. The other one pops the trunk, puts on one of these white plastic sheet things, puts on his elbow-length blue gloves, pulls out this what looks like a nurse's tray. Elkins knows what I mean. And they go, probably had to time him, probably about 20 minutes, come out, pulls off that white thing, that smock thing, and he puts it in a bag like it's contaminated with something. And then they just drove off into the sunset. So I think somehow an emergency, what do they call that, update, whatever it's called, she couldn't wait. She had to have them come to her. But keep in mind, this woman's got to be 80 years old. And three times this year already, the ambulance came out, probably a heart, I don't know, it's a speculation, actually took her to a hospital and she was back the next day. So she's teetering anyway. And then they go and do this. So if they're going to start flying to people's houses on request, I mean, I'll put in one for double cheese. I mean, wow, have you heard of that anywhere else?
Yeah.
And I live up here in the middle of Egypt in eastern Washington. So what are they doing down there?
Well, and you know, there are so many inconsistencies anymore. You know, I've said this repeatedly, Sheldon, that people are going to be grateful for returning to the old administrative state. That's their goal. Prior to the 2008 ripoff of mankind, I'm sorry, the banking crisis, and then their follow-up takeover program, COVID-19, what we were talking about was restoring lawful government, constitutional government. What we were discussing, again, was common law. What we were talking about to get rid of the criminals inside government, grand juries, citizen grand juries. Citizens can call grand juries. You got infected, dirty people in the government? What are you going to do? Go to the very same fox that's guarding that hen house to ask them for a resolution to a problem that they are the problem. These right. were the things that we're discussing. We were discussing common law and real money and things of that nature. We were well on our way to educate people as to how the real world should operate under common sense rules. But that's all been put by the wayside because now we're being told if you're not vaccinated, you can't go there or you can't do this or whatever the case may be. Do you know that down here in Texas, and I'm considering very seriously of writing to McDonald's corporate headquarters to suggest to them that they just pull all their golden arches the hell out of Texas, because to this day, you cannot walk into the restaurant itself. You got to go through their drive-thru because of COVID-19. They can take their double Big Mac, cram it up their wazoo, and leave Texas for all I care.
Yeah, you know, I can't. I tried to go into the library today to make copies, and here's a mask. You want one? The box right there. And this little chick just started barking up my ass, and I'm going, you know, if it's not codified in the Federal Register, a mandate is not a law. You cannot force this upon anybody. What you're doing is legal. And then she goes on with her thing, and then I said, no, I don't live in fear. You need to, you know, you need to smart up and get the truth turned around. I had to drive 40 miles to get my colored copies because I just vote with my dollar, like you say, and I don't fold. People are folding all around me, and I don't get it. I can't talk to anybody. It's just vacation, and I'm wasting my breath. So thanks for your time, buddy.
Thank you, Sheldon. Not all is wasted. There are people out there that have questions. People reach the epitome of clarification in their lives, not always on schedule and not on your time frame. It may come to them in the middle of the night. It may not come to them at all. But I look at it this way. It's our duty and our obligation to at least inform our fellow citizens. And it's like the vaccine. They can take it if they want, or they can leave it if they want. I myself don't subscribe to that particular philosophy. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. It's been a while. How are you, sir?
Good.
Good. So I was thinking about the caller before and then this caller. The caller before is why I wanted to call you. When they, at least in where I am in Colorado with the big box stores and all the corporate stuff, they have it posted, and they still have it posted, that if it is not medically disadvantaged to you or if you cannot medically accept it or whatever like that, they're giving everybody an out, and people aren't taking it. So the reason I wanted to talk about the caller before, he wants to. It's good to get into law and get into people's about that, but all you have to do is just say you're medically exempt, even if you're not.
Yeah, but
it's that simple.
Yeah, but they're going to close that little loophole. They're probably going to be mandating, you know, certificates of the validity of your claim. They're going to close every door possible to trap you. And the coercion, I mean, this should, Mike, really, I mean, this should be a wake-up call to people that, wait a minute, the company I'm working for is telling me I either got to take this jab, I feel fine, I need to take this jab against the flu I don't have, otherwise you cannot work here. Where in God's universe does that make any sense? And is that even legal? And again, okay, now we're going to the administrative handmaidens, the lawyers that help create this damn monstrosity we're facing, the administrative state, that has just got a little jacked out of shape and a little bit too full of itself.
No, for sure. And I think programs like yours, which is why I continue to listen, I continue to tell people all the time, they say, well, where'd you hear that? Where's a good source? I said, I didn't hear this there, but a good source is Republic Broadcasting Network, and it's republicbroadcasting.org. And I do it all the time, and I hope people get it, because programs like yours and others on the network are, they're not over the top. They're not, you know, people can actually hear you and understand what it is you're trying to tell them, and hopefully they'll go follow up and figure it out on their own, like you said. Maybe it's 3 a.m., maybe it's never, but it surely is our duty. So with that, I will sign off and tell you thank you again, sir.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your call. You know, I shouldn't even mention this because it gives indication to the ne'er-do-wells out there. But I had a guy email me to complain about, well, you need new host, and you need to stop interviewing these people. And, you know, he's giving me this litany. I suggest, and by the way, I'm a longtime listener. And I thought, bullpucky, no, you're not. No, you're not. And I noticed, Mike, I've noticed something. Have you noticed this? The people that complain the loudest and most voraciously are the ones that have never donated one thin dime to this network. They are appalled that we even exist. We're the unwashed ones. What did Hillary Clinton, Mike, call us? The deplorables, that's right. What is it? A basket of deplorables. And Hillary, They're coming to take you away, to the funny farm, where life is beautiful all the time, and basket weavers sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and their toes, and they're coming to take you away, I'm living for the day. Holy mackerel. Will justice prevail? Yes, it will. Eventually it will, if we want it. And that's the key to this. This battle is down to the people. Because your government, your institutions, they have walked away from you. And I take no pleasure, folks. I really don't. You know, guy Mike in Colorado says, you guys aren't over the top. With the information that we have to the uninitiated, whew. Remember what it was like when you woke up and you started to really see the world as it really is. Remember the emotional things that you went through. It's going to happen to people that are uninitiated, that are overwhelmed by this stuff.
Here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Deep in the heart of Texas, back in 1835, they drew a line in the sand. The folks at Gonzales had freedom on their minds. It was all because of a cannon that had kept their colony safe. But then General Santa Anna sent some Mexican troops to take the big gun away. You know what those colonists said?
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can.
come and take it, but we'll warn you, you'll have to pry from a cold dead hand.
We are back. By the way, following this program, Jeff Bennett. You've not heard Jeff Bennett on the air since when, Mike? Last Thursday? He was on last Monday, so he's been off last week. And the Thursday, Friday before. Reason being, the man had a heart attack. Now, yeah, tragic. His son died of a drug overdose, and then he has a heart attack. So that's been a double whammy on Mr. Bennett, and we're very sorry about that. But the good news is he is expected to make a full recovery from this heart attack. And from what we can gather in him talking to you, Mike, it was a fairly mild heart attack. That's called in the medical industry your alarm clock, your wake-up call. Take better care. Which I'm sure he will. So our condolences to Mr. Bennett and our prayers for a speedy recovery. He will be back on as soon as he is able. Chicago Labor Day weekend. Well, how did it go in old Chi-Town? Well, at least 57 were shot by Monday morning. At least 57 people were shot in Mayor Lori Lightfoot's Chicago Friday evening into Monday morning of the Labor Day weekend. CBS2 reported 53 shot and wounded and 4 fatally shot by 5:58 a.m. Monday morning, September 6th. Breitbart News reported 24 people were shot, 2 of them fatally in less than 24 hours. Spanning from Saturday night into Sunday morning. And prior to those 24 shooting victims, the Chicago Sun-Times had observed that 16 people were shot in Chicago between Friday evening and Saturday afternoon at 3:25 p.m. So there were at least 40 shooting victims in Mayor Lightfoot's Chicago by Sunday morning. And that number grew to at least 57 shooting victims by Monday morning. HeyJackass.com pointed out, it's a real website, HeyJackass.com, pointed out that 13 people have been shot and killed in Chicago during the first days of September, and another 82 people have been shot and wounded during the same time frame. Breitbart News observed that at least 50 were shot in Mayor Lightfoot's Chicago during the last weekend of August. Lori Lightfoot, the ugliest lesbian that has ever graced a public office. Put a little lipstick on. Wait a minute, you can't put lipstick on a pig, can you? It's still a pig. God, she is an ugly woman. God, you would think. She must be the man in any relationships to give that macho look. She's an ugly guy. Are we sure she's even a female? I don't know what the hell she is. God, you know, when they're going to have to embalm her and preserve her body forever. This is going to be a curiosity for many years to come. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this was once what occupied the mayor's office in Chicago, Illinois. I want to thank you all for being here today. Please make your donations to the network. Folks, you know we're worth having around. We'll see you tomorrow. And I think it is what day? Roger Landry Day.
TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.